It's going to be with you this morning. Today we're actually finishing the Hangover series, and we've been talking, and the last few weeks we've of course been using the old cups here. We'll get back to some cuppage today, but I'm excited about today because today's cup is a very special cup. If you've missed the last several weeks, I'd love to tell you, you can go listen to the podcast if you want to, but you're going to miss a lot because a lot of it was so visual with the things that we've been talking about. But basically, in a sense, what we've been talking about is that God wants to pour out into us, and we can go ahead and do a little bit of that now. You know, God wants to pour out into us and, you know, fill us up, so to speak. And so we've been talking about that, and we've been talking about, you know, our need to be in God, and, you know, we've got a cup here somewhere that was my trick cup that kind of threw everybody off, at least I hope they did the second week. And the trick cup goes in, this is us in God kind of a thing. But then we turn around and God also wants to be in us. You know, so we are to be in him. This is scripture. We're to be in him and then him in us. There's some kind of crazy stuff going on there. But basically, we're just supposed to be saturated with who he is and who he wants us to be. And this is all really cool. But then on top of all this, you know, we're called to do some, you know, really crazy things, like, you know, take ourselves and pour ourselves out into others. And so, you know, we've had the, you know, the multiple cups going on here, and, you know, we're pouring out, and, you know, that's, you know, serving and loving others and all of those things that we're called to do. And then when we have poured ourselves out, then God can fill us up again. Otherwise, what happens is God fills us up a lot of times, and we just, like, sit there. We come to church, and we got our stuff, and we just sit there, and then we just get stale and nasty, and, you know, nobody wants to drink because they're like, you're stale and nasty. I don't want any stale and nasty. I want good stuff. And so, you know, and then here's the other dilemma amongst all of this stuff is that a lot of times we get caught up in a hangover of just doing stuff for the kingdom. Maybe we're trying to do good things. Maybe we've been serving, but trying to love people, whatever. But, you know, what we've been doing without a relationship with God. And so, you know, and this is, man, we all fall into this. I fall into this. We all fall into this deal where, you know, we mean well and we're doing, and we, you know, we signed up for the thing and we're doing stuff and we're loving people at work and even the boss that we hate and everything. But, you know, in the midst of all that, somewhere we just kind of lose track and we quit having a relationship with God. We're not spending time with him. And so then what happens is we end up coming out of, you know, focus. And, of course, then we've got, you know, what we've got to give, we're doing it. You know, the action is there, but there's nothing. And it's just empty because we've got this hole. And then last week we talked about the hole, and the hole a lot of times is the fact that we're hung over from our sin. And we've got something in our life that's just owning us. And we're way hung over in such a way that it's keeping us from even getting close to God. And we're starting to make ourselves believe, well, we're never going to overcome that thing and all this stuff, but that's not true. All we have to do is just go back and be with God and be in him. And of course, he never leaves us. I don't want to make that illustration seem like God ever leaves us. But sometimes we leave his will for our life. And the terrible thing that happens when that happens is that, you know, we miss some of the most incredible things that God may ever want to bless us with or do for us. Because let's just face it, I mean, he wants to work through stuff a lot of times that's not going to make sense because he wants the glory. And he deserves it. He deserves it because he saved us. And so, you know, for us to remember, you know, that sometimes we have that for a reason. Sometimes we have a thorn in our flesh, like Paul talks about, that, you know, keeps us kind of grounded. You know, if God's reason God didn't make us perfect, we'd be off doing our own thing. We wouldn't have to have him. He didn't do that. He made us where we would want community, where he wired us up, where we would worship, and that we would want to worship him. And so our need to be in him is huge, and I hope today that you're coming with a heart of wanting to seek that. I hope that today you're coming with a heart that you're kind of saying, I got to come out of this thing. I hope that's okay. But, you know, hoping that you're coming with a heart to just say, you know, that God, I've come today, and I want you to not just fill me up, but I want you to pour me out. And that's a prayer that if you're willing to pray, you've got to understand something. That's action behind words. You can't just say, God, I want you to fill me up and I want you to pour me out, God. Just pour me on out. Because if we're gonna say those words, that means that we're basically saying to God, God, I want you to use me, which means we've got to do something. We got to be doers of his word. And so all of this is going on. And then today we have another cup. And the cup of today is this cup right here. And I'm just going to save it over here for right now. And the cup today is the cup of God's wrath. And right now you're going, yes, God's wrath. I want some of that. You know, I mean, who doesn't want some wrath? You know, I dare you, go to the restaurant today, or when you go to your friend's house to watch the Super Bowl tonight, I want you to sit down and I want you to, if they say, can I get you something to drink? Say, yes, cup of God's wrath. Get me some of that. Man, this section over here, it's always, man, you guys are doing good. I'm going to loosen you guys up today. I'm going to throw something at you. Cup of God's wrath is it's all through Scripture. And it's this crazy thing that we see, you know, and God is, and let me just kind of go back and just kind of replay a couple things here for you. God is a just God. God is all about the fairness here and the justice. And truthfully, he's not really about the fairness, because if it was all fair and we got what we really deserved, that would be death. It would be God's wrath. But what happened along the way, and we see all through the Old Testament, we see Scripture talking about God's wrath. And God's wrath is basically what we deserve for our sin. It's what we deserve for basically breaking his heart over and over again. Maybe you've got that thing in your life that, you know, you just kind of keep battling against, and you just kind of keep coming up against it. And it's like, man, I'm never going to overcome this. Last week I mentioned, and I'll make mention again, because some of you that weren't here last week, I think you need to hear it. If you know Christ as your Savior, then the Holy Spirit lives within you, and you have self-control over sin. You can say no. You can say no. So that being said, we have the ability. It doesn't mean that we don't struggle with it. Sometimes it means that we need to do things to help protect ourselves from even getting near that sin or whatever it is that's going on in your life. You know, maybe it's moving the computer into the family room. Maybe, you know, whatever it is. But whatever it is, I encourage you to seek that out and don't let Satan use you as a playground. God wants to use you, and not as a playground. He wants to use you for his kingdom. And so for us to understand that, and us to understand we can overcome sin, there's nothing that we cannot overcome through Christ who strengthens us, especially in our weaknesses. And that's why when God sometimes calls us to do something and we kind of feel this rumbling of soul, I had somebody talk to me this week, a man in our church, and he's like, he's looking at me, he's going, Chris, I'm God is just like stirring in me, and I'm uneasy, and I feel like he's calling me to do something, and I could just tell, I didn't ever ask it, I didn't have to ask, you know, does it scare you? Yeah, it scares him. Scares me anytime God calls me to do something that's a little over the edge. But truth be known, that is when he is most glorified, because it is obvious that I can't do those things. And he wants to work through my weaknesses. He wants to work through your weaknesses. This morning, we're going to look at this passage of Scripture. And, you know, this is kind of, today, honestly, it's kind of like the cure for hangovers, I guess, so to speak. This is the ultimate hangover cure. I don't personally drink myself. A lot of folks in our church do. And scripturally, we can talk about that. And it's, you know, it's a drunkenness thing. And what that's all talking about is basically not being controlled by the Spirit. And so, you know, that's a whole nother conversation for another day. And that's not really why we designed this series. But, you know, today, to kind of have a little fun with this, I went on the internet and was checking out some cures for hangovers. Now, some of you have probably already done this for other reasons other than teaching a message on a Sunday morning. I was right. I hope you're not doing it tomorrow. It is a sin, the drunkenness, okay? But I went on and I looked up cures for the hangover. And then looking up cures for the hangover, I found just different things. And it's like we were looking, me and a buddy of mine was at the house. We were looking at this last night. And we watched one podcast that said one thing, and then we watched one thing from the Food Network that said a completely different thing. One threw in painkillers. One said, no, stay away from them. They're going to make you crazy or something. I don't know. It was something to that degree. But anyway, in there somewhere, they had some similarities, and some of the things were, you know, drinking a lot of water, eating food, you know, like crackers and stuff, bread, and then... I don't know. There was something else in there. Gatorade, drinking Gatorade, something like power drinks and that kind of stuff that can, you know, put the electrolytes back in you. Eating fruit, and then vitamin B6, or B9, as I was calling it last night, because I'm dyslexic sometimes. But you know, these just cures to hopefully help you overcome a hangover. Some of you know much more about this than I do, so I won't teach on it. But you know, I find it interesting. You know, we're always looking for a fix to things, aren't we? And you know, and I think for so many of us with our walk with Christ, we're looking for answers. And quite honestly, some of you are in here today. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're just checking this out. You're dating the idea of, you know, even going to a church. Somebody drug you here because they told you, look, you've got to come. The band is good. Our pastor is whatever he is, and you know, I mean, you just got to come and check it out. It's not like the normal thing, blah 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 blah. And in the midst of that, you're kind of wrestling these issues because we're still teaching the truth here. And the thing that's kind of coming at you is that maybe something's kind of happening in your heart, and you're going, well, you know, that's just, you know, that's the touchy feely stuff. Look, we got nothing to give you the touchy feely stuff today, okay? We got no special lights. We got stages that used to belong to Opryland a million years ago. You know, I mean, this is not the rock show. You could go somewhere else and get the touchy-feely stuff. God is speaking to your heart. And I want you to recognize today that if that's the situation that you're in today, if you're here and you're kind of questioning what, you know, is God real and all this stuff and, you know, and all this stuff, but this is kind of happening inside me right now, I'm just here to tell you, God is at work and he's speaking to your heart. And scripture teaches us that we should listen to that and that we shouldn't ignore that. And in fact, scripture even teaches that if we ignore that consistently, eventually he'll be like, hands off, all right, you got it your way. And I'm just telling you, you don't want it your way. You want it his way. And so listen to what he's doing. And so to kind of go with this, to kind of help you understand something about your life, if you're kind of feeling like there's this something that's missing, there is something that's missing. And it has to do with a relationship with Jesus Christ. This morning we're talking about the cup, and I wanna just go straight into this passage here this morning. And this passage of scripture is Matthew chapter 26. And in Matthew 26, we see in verse 36, we're reading this passage of scripture where Jesus himself is hanging out with his disciples, and he's about to be taken to go to the cross. And when I mean about to be taken, I mean like this is the scene he is having right before he's taken. Like eventually, guys show up on this scene and take him away. And he's on a mountain called Gethsemane. And it says in verse 36, check this out. Chapter 26, verse 36, the book of Matthew. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and two sons of Zebedee along with him. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch for me. So he's looking at the disciples and he's like, look guys, I've got to go spend time with the Father. I've got to go spend time with God. And let me get something straight here. Jesus is God. He is the Son of God, but he is God. And he's going to spend time with the Father who is also God. There's a Trinity thing going on here and that's a whole other message. But just making it clear. Because I know that's real clear. I'm just teaching the word. Verse 39, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. As you will. And so we're seeing Jesus crying out to the Father. And I mean, just kind of in an amazing, amazing thing happening here. And honestly, I don't know that if I studied this passage of Scripture for the rest of my life, and I probably will, that I could ever fully explain everything that's going on here. But some of what we can see is that Jesus has come to the Father, and he's gotten on his knees, and he's gotten away from all the mess and all the craziness of the world. There's something we can learn about this here, and we see Jesus do this all through his ministry, all through his life, is that we need to get away and spend time with God. We need to get away and spend time with God. Just like you need to take your spouses on a date, men, you need to take your ladies on a date. You'd be like, I've been married to her for 25 years. I'm not taking that woman anywhere. You need to take that woman on a date. Take her on a date. You need to take her and get away and spend time with her and build her up as Christ does the church. We see that in Scripture, parallel to our marriages. It's very important. Just as important as it is for us to get away and spend time on those relationships, it is just as important for us to get away and spend time with God in that relationship. Because that's what it is. Because if you're new to this, by the way, newsflash, this is about a relationship. It's not about church attendance or how many things you can be involved in. It's about a relationship with Jesus. Jesus has gone to the Father and he said, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Verse 40. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. I'm sure he loved this. Like he's on death's door. Like he knows the cops are coming. 5-0 is about to knock in the door of Gethsemane and they're going to be there to come and get him. And here's the disciples, and what are they doing? They're like all just like laid out all over the ground, like taking a nap. Like, okay. So Jesus finds them sleeping. Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour, he asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. This is big stuff. We're seeing Jesus in a moment that we haven't seen Jesus in before. In verse 42, he went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. May your will be done. He's praying the same thing again. He's gone back to the Father, went back a second time and prayed, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away from me, unless I drink it, may your will be done. And right there, he just begged a minute ago and just said, Father, if you can take it, please take it. I'll give it to you. If you can do something else with this, then do it. I'm willing to give it to you. But your will be done. And then he's coming back and he's saying, you know, okay, Father, you know, if it can't be taken, then your will be done. Let it be. Verse 43, when he came back, he found them sleeping. I'm sure he was excited about that. Because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. And following that, you can study for yourself. We see Judas coming with the authorities in which he had turned Jesus into for a little bit of money. And, you know, you say, Chris, okay, I get this. This is Jesus. He's about to die. He's scared to death of death. No, he's not. He's not scared to death of death. There's something else happening here. You say, well, Chris, it just seems obvious that he's scared to death of death. And I've got to say, well, no, I don't think that it is. I think there's something else happening here because he is shook up about something. You see, we've got martyrs, we've got Christian martyrs all through Scripture. Some of them walking up to have their lives taken for the name of God, for the name of Jesus Christ, and many of them walking up and just gladly taking death. Now, maybe not gladly, but I mean, they're like taking death and they're staring it in the face and they're like, bring it. I want it. If this is His will, I want it. And Jesus is saying, if this is Your will, Father, I want it. But if You can take it from me, You can take it. So what else is at work? What else is it happening? It's this. It's the cup of God's wrath. You see, we think about the cross from time to time. And when we think about the cross, many times when we think about the cross, we think about, you know, how terrible of a death it was. We think about the fact that they stretched His arms out and they nailed His wrists in and they nailed His feet in and they hung Him there until He died. We think about those things. We think about the crown of thorns. We think about the pain and the agony that must have come along with those things. But a lot of times what we do not think about is that there is a moment in time where when Jesus Christ died for our sins, He took on every ounce of wrath that we ever deserved. Ever. And that's why there is nothing else needed to forgive us of our sins. Because in a moment in time where the temple curtain was ripped from top to bottom and earthquakes were going down and the world stood still for a minute, and I think a bunch of people that were on the scene probably realized we have just done a bad thing. But it was God's will. It was His will for His Son to take that wrath for us. And in doing so, I think for so many of us, when we seek God and we're seeking something different for our life and we're looking for something that God is wanting to speak to us and we're looking for something to help fill the gap and fill the hole, and we're meaning well, maybe we're going to church, maybe we've been in church all of our life. I said this last week, but nobody is grandfathered into this. You don't just always know Jesus. There is a moment in your life when you say, God, I want You to be my Lord and Savior, and it comes after He's been speaking to your heart. Quite honestly, He draws us to Him, Scripture tells us. And in doing so, we respond with, I'm Yours. Forgive me of everything that I've ever done. I'm sorry that I've broken Your heart. I believe in Your Son, and I believe in the wrath that He took for me. And today, you may be here and you may be in that boat. You may be sitting here today and you may be thinking to yourself, well, you know, I've never done that. I've done this and I've done that and I've been doing this for a long time, and that over there, we've done that a lot, but truth be known, I've never started a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, we're not married until we're married. You can be with someone for a long time. You can date them. You can live with them. You can do all kinds of things. But until you're married, you're not married. So you can't say, hey, we're married, until you're married. It's taking the relationship to a very personal place. It's a commitment. It's saying, you have my life. And that's what God is looking for us. In us every single day. And so when I read this passage of Scripture and I see Jesus saying, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as You will. And when I see Him say, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may Your will be done. And when we've come to this point where we're ready to let Him take over, that's what we've got to decide on. Are we ready to let His will be done? the cup of God's wrath, as seen many times in the Old Testament, is a scary thing, honestly. Jesus wasn't afraid of death. Jesus was afraid of a moment in time where he would have to take this. And not only would he have to take it, but in that moment in time, he would have to take it alone. And because he took that moment to take this alone, we will never have to take it, and we will never be alone. It's an amazing thing. Even more amazing this morning is how powerful it is when you take the cup of wrath that God pours out. One of the most amazing things is that the cup of God's wrath is not like any of the cups that we've been talking about. It's a completely different scenario altogether. This cup is something that when we see it at work, is powerful. And it's so powerful that it took his son to die for it. But when his son died for this cup, when he took it alone, in doing so, his blood was shed and covers every single sin that we've ever had. And maybe in the back of your head, maybe you're here today and you're going, no, Chris, you don't know what I've done. Nobody knows what I've done. I don't have to. Because Jesus' blood is so powerful that it covers over everything.